manufactured is you.
Insecurity is such a powerful commodity in a marketing-driven culture, which I think in part is why it's so distressing that advertisements are now in so many schools in North America. If you think about, you know, what it means to be a 12-year-old, what educators know and what all the research shows is that what 12-year-olds are concerned about are, you know, pretty basic questions like, if I wear this, will people laugh at me? You know, what do my peers think of me? How am I perceived by others? It's a time in your life when you are absolutely obsessed with external perceptions of yourself because you're in the process of creating yourself. The role of an educator in that process is, of course, to help bring out your identity, your sense of yourself, to make you feel more secure and a more productive future citizen. The role of Pepsi in that situation is to say, okay, this insecurity is an opportunity for me to sell you security in the form of our brand identity. It's the clearest possible conflict of interest where the goals of the public sector and the goals of marketing are in fact not compatible at all and are in fact working at cross purposes with one another.
We were just angry. And there was three or four of us who were very passionate and very angry. And first of all, we just had a newsletter. And then suddenly that newsletter turned into a little magazine. And then by the third issue, the magazine was already selling across Canada. And by the seventh issue, the magazine was already selling right across North America. Suddenly our circulation was climbing up to 15,000. And we had lots of volunteers. Lots of people who shared our anger, and it just felt like a work of passion. Didn't know exactly where we were going, but we kept on going, and the momentum kept on building, and now, 10 years later, we have a circulation that's almost 100,000. We have a magazine that sells for $5.95, and it's growing by 2,000 or 3,000 every issue. So no planning, just anger, fueled by anger.
Why are 9 out of 10 women dissatisfied with some aspect of their own bodies? The beauty industry is the beast.
As companies have invested more and more an image and divested from production. It has become an increasingly popular activist strategy to very consciously create uncomfortable juxtapositions between the promise that a company projects, the image, its facade, and the reality of how those products are produced, in effect to pelt the facade with the reality of production. One of the things that's become clear is, in a sense, the shinier the facade, the more vulnerable the company. You know, if you stand for empowerment, feminism, equality, then you're damn well going to find out that workers in Indonesia are getting paid $2 a day to make your products. And if you think that that's not going to happen, then it's just, to me, so interesting that these companies actually don't believe in globalization as much as they tout it, as much as, you know, we hear about it all the time. The entire system is based on this profound and misguided idea that we actually won't find out. It's clear that the bias of globalization is towards centralization and homogenization. And there's also, once again, an awareness in marketing culture that there's great concern about this, which is why, at the same time as we've seen a dramatic homogenization of world culture, consuming the same music, wearing the same Gap clothing, you know, a kind of a global monoculture, a uniform emerge, the imagery of advertising has gone totally psychedelic, right? Diversity is the most powerful sales pitch. Multiculturalism, you know, outrageous expression of all kinds are used to sell the most homogenous, blandest of all products, right? You know, the more piercings, tattoos, you know, the better. And so we have this strange dichotomy of a very bland, boring monoculture wrapped in the psychedelic packaging of diversity.
Today in North America, I think it's a little bit better in Europe, but in North America, if you add it up very carefully over a 24-hour period, then there are 3,000 marketing messages every day coming into your brain. That means if you add up the, you know, the TV spots and the radio spots in your car and the billboards you're driving by and the logos on our shirts and on the buildings and on our appliances, if you add it all up in a 24-hour period, it comes to 3,000 marketing messages a day. And this is how you grow up in North America. 3,000 marketing messages a day telling you that it's okay if you want to be happy, buy a car, have a Big Mac, you know, do something. And so they have created that kind of a meaning. So if you want to make a cultural revolution, then you have to create a different kind of a meaning.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 24 is Buy Nothing Day.
You start creating what I call cognitive dissonance. You start saying things which create moments of truth for people. So what was that? Buy Nothing Day? What does that mean, Buy Nothing Day? Isn't that a bunch of bullshit? What does it mean, Buy Nothing Day? But if you think about it, then you realize that maybe there's a connection between buying and the killing the planet. And maybe if you, on July the 4th, if you go out to celebrate, you know, the American independence, and suddenly you look up at the flag and the flag looks like an American flag, but then you suddenly notice that in the stars, the stars are not stars, they're actually corporate logos. And first of all, you're really outraged. You think, fuck, you know, how can some bastards do this to my flag? But then maybe when you have a little talk with your friend, or maybe you have hear some interview on the radio or something, then maybe you realize that America is no longer a democracy. It's now a corporate state.